Simon Mannering is founder and president of We First, a brand consulting firm that helps companies use social media to build communities, profits, and positive impact. He is an award-winning advertising creative director, influential blogger, and international speaker. In his New York Times best-selling book, We First, How Brands and Consumers Use Social Media to Build a Better World, Mannering details a visionary new practice in which brands leverage social media to earn consumer goodwill, loyalty, and profit while creating sustainable social change. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you so much, and thanks to everyone for listening.
Now, before we get into the details of the book, can you please just give us a bit of background on yourself and how you came to social media?
Sure. I'm a long-time advertising copywriter who worked in Australia, then in London on brands like the BBC, Harrods, The Guardian, and Adidas. And then I went and worked in the United States on brands like Nike at an ad agency called Wieden & Kennedy. And then I was worldwide creative director on Motorola at Ogilvy. And since then, I've had my own consultancy, basically working on the messaging or strategy that the big Fortune 500 brands put out there as the marketplace was changing underneath them. And I came to social media because 3 or 4 years ago, I saw the rise of this social technology that allowed people to connect in real time almost for free. And as a brand building guy, I realized that this is all we've ever tried to do with advertising. We've tried to connect people emotionally to a product or a service or a brand. And these tools, to me, seemed incredibly powerful in making that happen. So I thought it was going to be a game changer. So I started investigating the area. I decided to write a book about how it will change marketing in the future. And I've since, you know, realized that, you know, many of the things that were possible are starting to come true in the sense that, you know, we see what's happened with the, you know, Arab Spring revolutions over in the Middle East. We see what happens with brands and consumers in dialogue. We see how political elections are being largely determined by connected citizens. And so really this social technology has become increasingly important to the ways that we relate with each other.
Mm-hmm. And so what is the visionary new practice that you talk about in We First?
Well, We First is a counterpoint to the me first mentality that has informed a lot of business practice in the past and led to, in a large part, to the crisis we all faced in 2008 and that continues through today with the recession, in that we were all looking at the world from a very self-interested point of view. We saw that in business, you know, obviously with Wall Street and all the revelations that came out there, but also in the way consumers consumed as customers, and then finally in the way that we treated the environment. But if 2008 taught us anything, it's that we now live in an intimately connected global community. What happens on Wall Street affects Main Street, it affects our hopes, our housing, our healthcare. It affects Greece and Iceland and the Middle East and the, you know, the EU. So really, we are very, very connected now, in which case we need to shift to a we first mentality, which is simply a reframing of our self-interest to make it match the world that we actually live in now. And that world is one in which what happens in America affects countries overseas and vice versa. What we do individually affects issues like climate change or the environment. And really, we all, if in a sense that we all get ourselves into trouble on our own, we now need to work together to provide sustainable solutions that meet the scale of the problems we face.
Hmm. And so what does it mean for organizations? The book provides case studies from companies like P&G, Walmart, Starbucks, Pepsi, Coke, Toyota, Nike, Whole Foods, Patagonia, and Nestle. Can you give us a couple of examples from these?
Sure. Well, let me start with broad principles. Firstly, this is not about being purely well-intended. This is not about suddenly companies turning over a new leaf and doing good. Obviously, companies are always going to be self-interested, and their first responsibility will be their fiduciary duty to their shareholders. But that said, in a social business marketplace where consumers have a platform to talk about a brand using Facebook, using Twitter, creating content, distributing it, and curating that content, brands now need to recognize that consumers are effectively co-authoring the stories that they tell. And this has thrown a new responsibility on brands to shift from that monologue perspective to one of dialogue. And they need to do things that are meaningful to the lives of their customer community. And that means if a company really wants to drive its profit, it needs to bring to life its core values. And that's why we're seeing big corporations like Coca-Cola with its Open Happiness Campaign, the Pepsi Refresh Project, Walmart Sustainability Index, Starbucks Shared Planet, Procter & Gamble Click for Water Campaign. It goes on and on and on. Why? Because these are the new business-building strategies that are most effective. So to give you a couple of examples, Patagonia has always been famous for the transparency it provides in terms of the environmental impact of its products. It has an initiative called the Footprint Chronicles, which shows you how a product is made and its impact on the environment and invites you to comment. It's now expanded that beyond themselves. It's now taken those core values of honoring the environment and taken responsibility for expanding that to the entire industry. So they've spearheaded what's called the Sustainable Apparel Coalition, which now includes all their competitors in the outdoor apparel industry, as well as large players like Walmart and M&S and H&M over in Europe. And they now have 30% of the global apparel manufacturing marketplace all signed on to a single sustainability index. So that's an example of a brand working with its otherwise competitive, you know, its competitors to try and solve a problem that's larger than itself. The second example I'll provide is Pepsi, because it's a controversial one in the sense that a lot of people say, well, hold it, Pepsi creates brown sugared water, which arguably contributes to obesity, yet they're doing these good things like the Pepsi Refresh Project. So how do you reconcile those two things? Well, the fact is, what I'm encouraged by is at a holding company level, PepsiCo is doing many wonderful things. You know, they've got their dream machine, vending machines, recycling machines, that the proceeds of which go to veterans. They're funding Refresh University, which is helping social entrepreneurs build their business. They're launching 100% renewable packaging, as they did with their Sunlay chips. And you know, then we've got the Pepsi Refresh Project. So really, in this context, it's a fundamental shift across the board within the company to the point that, you know, Indra Nooyi, the CEO, is really reconsidering its product lineup because it knows it wants to live a life of, you know, performance through purpose. And so given those circumstances, my attitude is we should celebrate the good work that brands are doing as permission slips for other brands to do the same. So there's a couple of examples, but really, this is about integrating purpose into the for-profit business model of companies and bringing their core values to life in a way that's meaningful to their customers. So those customers use social media to talk about them in positive terms, and that ultimately drives their bottom line.
Great. Those are terrific examples. Thank you. And so to begin to wrap up, your book also presents a bold plan for how corporations need to rethink their strategies. I'm sure that you've just given us some inkling into that in some of your other answers, but can you really frame it for us for how corporations need to do that?
Yes, there's a couple of other pillars to the book. The first pillar is this new partnership between brands and consumers aligned around shared values and connected by social technology. The second pillar is a concept I call contributory consumption, which is a simple idea. It's just that a small portion of the sale of each product or service goes towards a cause that is in alignment with the core values of a brand. Now, this builds on previous wonderful initiatives like 1% for the Planet and Product Red and mobile apps like Social Vest. But really what I'm challenging companies to do here is take it right across the board. If you consider a small proportion of the sale of each product and service at the retail level, at, you know, through credit cards, through online marketing, through mobile purchases, and through the social gaming world and virtual goods, if only a small fraction, let's say 5% of the marketplace participated, and let's be even more realistic and say only 1% on the dollar was actually contributed to a cause in alignment with that brand. So if you've only got 1% of 5% contributing, you would absolutely dwarf the $14 billion raised by corporate foundations each year. So this is all really about scale. So if that's the second pillar, contributory consumption, where we build contribution into the very act of consumption on a daily basis, the third pillar, the third strategy I'd suggest is the issues that we as a society all around the world and, you know, as individuals face are far larger than the self-interest of any one person or company. And so we need to work together. And so I lay out in the book the proposition of a global brand initiative, which is a federation of brands who bring their respective skill sets to bear on the largest problems on the planet. And, you know, this includes their management expertise, their R&D, their intellectual property, and you see similar examples of this with, for example, Nike's environmental apparel platform that they've made available to all their peers, or Nike Green Exchange, in which they open up their IP to other companies. And I also mentioned the Patagonia-led Sustainable Apparel Coalition. So there's examples of it out there. But the fundamental premise is that previously competitive companies now need to work together to solve problems because it's in the best interests of their entire industries. And at the largest level, that would take the form of a global brand initiative, like the Clinton Global Initiative or other large-scale platforms. But what it would do is bring the best of the private sector into the social change space. And this is not just because we have people suffering all around the world. It's also because brands cannot survive in societies that fail, in which case it's in the interests of business to ensure the well-being of the middle class, to ensure the well-being of their customers, to shore up the well-being of society at large so they have an environment in which to thrive in. Because as we know right now, business in the United States and all around the world is saddled with historic debt. The middle class is disappearing, and we're facing many challenges on a global level, from the environment to energy and so on, in which case we can no longer look to government and philanthropy to do it on their own. We need the private sector to get engaged, and the book We First really lays out a roadmap for how we can go about doing that in practical, actionable steps that actually build the bottom line of the companies that participate.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Simon Mannering, author of We First, How Brands and Consumers Use Social Media to Build a Better World. Available as an audiobook narrated by John Lee from Tantor.com. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you so much.